Want to take a break from our series we're doing on doctrine that makes us different, and we're going to take a look at the quality of meekness in our 9:30 hour. So I encourage you to have your Bible out, open up. We'll look primarily in the New Testament as we study and discuss this quality. It was a subject, or at least it was a part of our study in our Wednesday afternoon class on 2 Timothy. And then over the weekend, many of us were involved in working with some young people, and it was very much a part of the discussion of Colossians chapter 3. And I wanted to spend a little more time talking about the subject of meekness together this morning. Meekness in the New Testament is translated from the Greek word praoutes. This word is difficult to translate with one English word. I don't know a whole lot about translating from one language into another, but I have done enough Bible study to know that it's not as simple as having a code where you've got one word in one language and it has the corresponding word in another language, and you just fill out the code And you've got the translation. It doesn't work that way. It's a lot more technical than that. And this word, praoutes, is one example of how difficult that can be. The word gentle. The English word gentle would be a good word to use, but it's much more involved than that. Praoutes was a word that was originally used by the Greeks to refer to an animal, a wild animal that had been trained, or even more specifically, to a horse that had been broken. You think about a horse, even when a horse has been tamed, even when a horse has been broken, it still has incredible strength. As a matter of fact, even today, we still measure things by horsepower. We realize there's a lot of power, there's a lot of strength in that animal, but if it has been broken, then it's willing to take the bit, it's willing to take the saddle, it's willing to take the yoke or the reins and to do some things that otherwise it wouldn't want to do. That's the idea of meekness. The world may give us the concept, the picture, the idea that someone who is meek is just someone who is wimpy, someone who is weak, someone who is not strong. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Meekness is the ability and the willingness to exercise incredible strength. W.E. Vine, in his lexicon of New Testament words, has an expanded description about this word praoutes. He says, rather, it is an inwrought grace of the soul, and the exercises of it are first and chiefly toward God. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. I want us to hang on to that definition. We're going to come back to it when we get to James chapter 1 in a few moments. Meekness, then, is that gentleness, that humility that comes as a result of us realizing who we are before God and realizing how great God is, the authority He has over us, and our willingness to yield ourselves to His authority and to yield ourselves to His Word in every aspect of our lives. Meekness is an attitude that is shown first to God and then to our fellow man. Now we can look at definitions, we can talk about comparable words, but we all know sometimes the best way to learn is by looking at an example. So not only do we have the instructions, the command to put on meekness, but we also have examples of meekness. I want to look quickly at three individuals who had this quality of meekness. The first is Moses, and here's our Old Testament passage. Moses wasn't a wimp. He wasn't a coward. He was a strong individual. But when it came to leading the people of Israel, he was meek. As a matter of fact, he says so about himself. In the book of Numbers, at chapter 12, and at verse 2, on many occasions, the people of Israel would rise up against Moses and rise up against Aaron and would challenge them. On this occasion, it's his own brother and sister who are doing so. Verse 2 says, "So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it." And then verse 3 is this parenthetical statement about Moses. "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth." We know that Moses wrote the book of Numbers. I think it's interesting. What a side note here for Moses to write about himself. It may be this was added by someone else like Joshua. Whatever the case is, we're told that Moses had this quality of meekness. And it equipped him to do the work that was necessary in leading the people of Israel. But if you think that Moses was weak, if you think that he was a wimp, then look at Exodus 32 when he comes down off the mountain and finds them worshiping the gold calf. He's anything but weak and wimpy there. He breaks the tablets of stone. He calls for people to gird on the sword, and individuals die that day. He is angry with the zeal for the Lord. But Moses is an example of meekness. He has that power, he has that strength, but he also knows when to clamp down on his tongue and to keep his cool about him. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was an individual who was able to manifest, to display great meekness. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, Paul says of himself and of the other apostles and those who would be laboring with them in preaching and defending the gospel, it says, "And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now." As Saul of Tarsus, Paul was a very strong, a very passionate man, and he would do anything he thought necessary in order to persecute Christians. But as the Apostle Paul, he was willing to put up with the mistreatment. He was willing to be reviled. He was willing to be persecuted. He was willing to be defamed. That is, he had the strength to retaliate, but he chose rather to take this when it was necessary to do so. But when it was a matter of the truth, when the truth was being slandered, when God's people were being reviled or persecuted or defamed, he stood up. He stood up and he took on the challenge and he showed anything but weakness. So we know here Paul is capable of showing great strength in retaliation, but there were areas in his life in which he exercised this restraint. We would call that meekness. The Apostle Paul would be the first to tell us that we don't need to imitate him, we need to imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. So there's our third individual that we have, and the perfect example of meekness is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The great invitation that he extends in Matthew at chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus was gentle. He was meek in his dealings with fallen man. Paul even acknowledges this about Jesus in 2 Corinthians at chapter 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So the Gospels declare that our Lord was meek and gentle, and the Apostle Paul follows that up and affirms that that is true of Jesus. Jesus was willing to take personal abuse, even to the point of allowing his own creation to put him to death. Have you ever thought about this? We know that as deity, Jesus possessed power and strength that we can never fully imagine. How he must have constrained himself as the scourges were lashing across his back. And as the hairs of his beard were being plucked out. And as soldiers were taking turns hitting him on the head with a stick and saying, "Prophesy to us. Who is it that just hit you?" Or as they drove the nails through his hands and through his feet, Jesus exercised unimaginable constraint and control to keep the entire universe from being obliterated at his command. He is the perfect example of meekness for us. He was meek and he was gentle because he had placed himself under the yoke of his Father's will. He wasn't here for himself. He was here to do the Father's will and to bring about our salvation. Indeed, meekness is not weakness. So what am I learning so far? As I look at some definitions, as I look at some examples, I see that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not apathy. Meekness is the exercise of incredible strength. It is the willingness and the ability to control ourselves and to treat others with kindness, whether they deserve it or not. That's what meekness is. And that's what that quality is that we are to add to our lives. I don't have it in the notes or in the outline, but praoutes, this Greek word, is right there in Galatians 5 as we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. It is something that God expects each of us to develop as we are following the teaching of the Spirit in our lives. It is something that God expects each and every one of us to develop as we are trying to develop the image of Christ in ourselves. He was meek and gentle. We are to be meek and gentle. For a few moments that are remaining, let's consider why we need to be meek. Other than the fact that God expects us of it, expects that of us, well, we know that's enough. That's enough, but God blesses us in that He does more than just telling us to do something because I say so. God's Word often shows us why He would have us to do these things. So why do we need meekness? Well, number one, in order to properly receive God's Word. Let's go now to James chapter 1. I made mention of this chapter a few moments ago as we were looking at the definition that we had from vines. James chapter 1 and at verse 21. I always enjoy the visual that we have here of receiving God's Word. It's likened to preparing a garden. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. You've got to clear the land. You've got to get the things that are going to be in the way of the plant growing. Whatever it is that's going to hinder that, you've got to get it out of the way. And here it is sin that we have in our heart and have in our life. And we're going to talk more about sin in our 11 o'clock hour. But you lay all of that aside and you receive with meekness, praoutes. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now remember that definition that we had. It is the temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good and therefore without disputing or resisting. If I'm receiving the word with all meekness, that means that I approach the word of God with this understanding. Number one, God is good, and God wants what is best for me. And His word, whatever it requires of me, is the best for me. And so whatever it says, that's what I'm going to do. Now, James says that's the attitude that we have to bring to the Bible. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to be careful about this? The word is able to save our soul, but not if we don't receive it correctly. So we're talking about our soul salvation. We have to have meekness with the word of God. We're not going to respect God's word, and we're not going to obey God's word without this quality of meekness that we're talking about this morning. Secondly, I need meekness in order to properly defend my faith. Turn just a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." I hope sometime soon to spend more time looking at this verse. There's a lot here, and I want us to be able to dig into it. But for the purpose of our study on meekness, we're talking here about being ready to give an answer for our faith, being ready to give a defense for our faith. But notice the text doesn't say to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason or the hope that is in you and let them have it. No, it's followed immediately with meekness, prautes, and fear or reverence. Yeah, you've got the answer. You've got the answer. You're ready to win the debate. Slam dunk. No. You're meek and you're gentle because it's not about winning a debate. It's about saving a soul. And so you do it in the right way. With meekness, with that gentleness. You keep the snarky comebacks. You keep them put away. And with reverence or fear and respect, you're treading on holy ground. You're talking about God's word. So you handle it with reverence and with respect. We have to have that if we're going to effectively defend our faith. We can defend our faith like a bully. We're not going to win any souls, and we're probably going to lose our own. Let's do it with meekness and with fear. And to restore the erring. Look in Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. And then we'll look at 2 Timothy. Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, be sure to lecture this poor individual and batter him about the head and shoulders." No. No, if someone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, among other things, you know what meekness is and you've worked to develop it in your life. Those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. There's our word for meekness. In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Again, it's not a matter of winning a debate. It's a matter of winning a soul. You do it in the right way. 2 Timothy 2:25. This is the passage we were studying in our Wednesday afternoon class this past week and brought this word of meekness and what we're studying today to my mind, and I wanted to share it with you today. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. Let's start at verse 24 through the end of the chapter. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel." It's not about fighting. It's not about winning a fight. must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Verse 25, in humility. That's where praoutes is. In meekness, in gentleness. Oh, you've got the strength to go in there and tear things up. But you're battling Satan for a soul. You've got to do it right. You've got to do it in the right way. And so with meekness, with that gentleness, with that care and with that concern, you go forward to restore someone who is in error. I want to tell you, no one is going to be insulted back into the church. It isn't going to happen. No one's going to be offended and insulted and badgered back into the Lord. We have to show meekness. We have to show gentleness. Maintaining unity in the local church. This takes us to Colossians, which is where many of us were over the weekend in a good study, looking at being rooted and grounded in our faith. We are to put off the old man with anger and malice and wrath and sin, and we are to put on the new man. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, praoutes, there it is, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The great thing about the Lord's church is that it is made up of so many different people. The most challenging thing about the Lord's church is that it's made up of so many different people. And Satan will use these differences to sow discord and shatter the body of Christ. And that's where we have to be adamant and diligent about putting on these positive qualities. In verse 12, again, if you need help understanding what meekness is, what praoutes means, look at the company it's keeping in verse 12. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, long-suffering or patience, bearing with one another. All of that goes right there with meekness and helps us understand a little bit more about meekness. Meekness allows us to diffuse the problems that would arise as a result of injuries and insults from one another. And the Lord hasn't taken us out of this world yet. We are not to be of the world, but we're still in the world. And meekness is very much a part of how we are expected to interact with the unbelieving world around about us. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. All humility, praoutes. There's the word, but it's not confined to the local church. It's everyone. When it comes to governing authorities and rulers, we are meek. We take on the yoke. We hold ourselves in control, and we yield and obey. When it comes to treating our neighbors with respect, to upholding righteousness with those around about us, we exercise meekness. All humility, it's translated in the New King James Version. English Standard Version says, perfect courtesy. Perfect courtesy. The King James Version does us a favor and just says, meekness. And that's what the word is, praoutes. Why do we need this? in order to properly receive God's word, to defend our faith, to restore the erring, to maintain unity, and to live properly with others. I'd say it's something that we need. It's something that we have to have. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I think this is interesting. As you look at Darwin's model of natural selection, it's the strong that survive. It's the weak that become extinct. In our Lord's model of divine selection, it's the proud and the arrogant that don't survive. It's the meek and the gentle that receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. Let us put on meekness as we serve God and as we serve one another. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this opportunity that we've had to study just one word from your revelation. We pray that you would help us to understand better this quality of meekness, to see how it is lived in the life of your Son and our Savior, and to be diligent to apply it to our lives in every aspect that your will calls for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.